Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Let's think back to the 1940s. World War II is raging and the United States is on high alert. The fear of German attacks is real and even affecting the world of sports. In this episode, we'll take you back in time to a pivotal moment in sports history as footballarchaeology.com's Timothy P. Brown visits us to tell us about wartime and football crowds. Coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another evening where we get to talk to Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com about one of his famous tidbits that comes out daily. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, thanks for having me this evening. I feel honored now that I am in the presence of a published author.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations. I mean, I know the amount of work you put into it, and just encourage everybody pick up. I'll let you do the plug yourself, but great stuff. Great stuff on an old time team.
Well, thank you. You were a big part of that, and I appreciate it. And folks, the name of the book is The World's Greatest Pro Gridiron Team. We've talked about it before in the podcast. We won't beleaguer you too much on that. But Tim was gracious enough to do some research on some of the bonus content we have in there. We did something a little bit different. So not only in the ebook, you have links to go into some things that are beyond the book, but also in the hard copy books, we have QR codes. You can use your smart device and go in there. And I think we have, three or four from Tim that goes in there and talks about some good old time football just to set the mood for 1903 football, because most of us sit there and read it and say, what does this mean? Well, we have the man that knows that era very well. By his research. So we appreciate your help there and a lot of help and advice along the way too. And we appreciate you, Tim.
No problem. Good time.
Now we're going to go back into one of your tidbits tonight with, back in the earlier days. Well, I guess this one's from this year that we're going to be doing, but back a few months ago, and talk about something, we're not that familiar with wartime and sports and being in stadiums. Okay, we know a little bit about COVID. We know terrorist attacks and going through security and everything. We're familiar with that. But we're going back to an era where the country was at war and could be in danger. People didn't know at the time if they were in danger or not. And I think it's really an interesting topic that you wrote on back in May. And you titled it An Aerial Attack at Yankee Stadium. And we'd love to hear all about it.
So this is it. I mean, to me, just like you said, it's an interesting thing to try to put yourself back in the time and the uncertainty they faced, right? I mean, There's things we know now that either the Japanese or the Germans had this capability or that, but they weren't sure. They weren't sure how things were going. So just kind of set the stage a little bit. December 7th, 1941, Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And, so one of the consequences of that was that the folks on the West Coast, the civil defense people, were concerned about trying to gather 80,000 people into the Rose Bowl on, you know, a glorious January 1st. So they said, no, you can't hold the game here in California. And so the Rose Bowl got transferred to Durham, North Carolina, because Duke was one of the teams playing. And likewise, the Shrine East-West game, which is an all-star game based in San Francisco, that was transferred to New Orleans that year. So, okay, we get past football season, and then, you know, on the East Coast, you know, while the Germans didn't have aircraft carriers like the Japanese did, they had a lot of submarines. And so there was, you know, back in the time, there were certain, like, planes that could launch from submarines, you know, just the old biplane kind of thing. But anyways, they, and, you know, the Germans were seeing a lot of shipping, you know, 630 some ships got sunk along the East Coast, you know, during 42 and, you know, that period. So they did things like, you know, they, FDR green-lighted sports, but like auto racing, motorcycle racing was banned to save, you know, tires and gasoline. And in places like Yankee Stadium, one of the impacts was, you know, they just never knew, you know, what would happen if somebody attacked the place, right? If somehow the Germans had some capability where they would attack Yankee Stadium during a baseball game. And so they set up this process where they had signs all over the stadium that was basically, you know, evacuation routes. You know, I mean, if you've been in cities like, you know, well, LA has them, and, you know, other places where there's these tsunami signs, if you're near the beach, you know, the Pacific Northwest, same things. It's like, okay, well, here's these signs. Here's what happens if there's a tsunami, you know, you get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Run like hell.
Yeah. But in Yankee Stadium, it was like, if you were in the upper deck, or if you were in the box seats or the grandstands or bleachers, whatever, you know, it had different escape routes for you. And so that's all baseball stuff. And I also should have said that because of blackout conditions, like night games, they didn't have any night games, you know, at least in 1942. And so, so then, you know, Yankee Stadium at the time was still a popular place for football games, both college and pro. And so, you know, I think I've sold it since, but, you know, I had a copy of a 1942 Army versus Princeton football program, and, you know, played at Yankee Stadium. And, you know, with inside of the, you know, one of the ads or pieces of information, you know, it had in there was just, it told you, okay, if, like I said, if you're in this section, here's your escape route, proceed this way, run out to such and such avenue or whatever, you know, you can get the hell out of the Bronx. So, anyways, it's just one of those things, you just can't imagine it. You know, it's just not, I mean, now we do go through security, and so maybe it is more imaginable now, but, you know, it's just one of those things you just don't think about that happening. And so just one other little point about that game and that season was that, you know, Princeton and Army played on, you know, one Saturday, and then the next one was the Army-Navy game. And so, again, due to wartime conditions, they moved it from Philadelphia to Navy Stadium in Annapolis because they wanted to have a smaller crowd, which was going to be the case there. And they would only sell tickets to people who lived within 10 miles of the stadium because they wanted to reduce people traveling to the game, you know, and eating up gas or whatever, you know. So it's just one of those interesting things that occurred. And yeah, I think by 43, the concerns about attacks on the, I mean, there were still concerns about espionage, concerns about attacks from a military standpoint had dissipated. But, you know, by then, you know, a lot of guys were getting drafted, being, you know, and enlisted. So, you know, NFL had teams merge, you know, the Steelers and were they the Pirates then or the?
The Steelers with the Eagles or the Steagles.
The Steagles, yeah.
And then they had the pick cards the next year, or maybe it was vice versa.
Yeah. So, you know, like in the pro game, you know, roster limitations, they merged a team or two, and then, and colleges, a number of colleges dropped football, during the war. So just due to roster limitations and other things. Just one of those things, a little bit hard to imagine now, but that's what happened back then.
Yeah. One of the interesting things, I learned a lot from that post, but one of the things that sort of resonated with me that I sort of outside of sports is I didn't realize that the Germans didn't have aircraft carriers. So, I guess maybe that's because I always wondered, I'm like, why did they move the Rose Bowl from the West Coast to the East Coast? You're still on a coastal. Why not have it in Oklahoma or somewhere, or the Cotton Bowl or something where it's safe? Where there's no water around, where you can, worried about aerial attack. But I didn't realize that the Germans didn't have aircraft carriers. So thank you for teaching me that. So probably some of the same things why Yankee Stadium and Annapolis didn't seem so scary too for, the submarines couldn't attack them too much from there. You're a little bit too far away from.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Yeah. So yeah, again, just different time and you just. It's just interesting to try to put yourself back in those periods and kind of things happen that you just think about, right?
Definitely some fun football facts and you have some of these each and every day, like we said, you call them your tidbits, and maybe you could share with the audience for those who aren't familiar with it, how they too can participate in reading your tidbits each and every day.
Yeah, so, the best thing is just go to footballarchaeology.com and subscribe. You'll get an email every day at 7 o'clock Eastern with today's, little story. And, read them at your leisure. Delete them if that's really what you want to do. but otherwise, I know people let them pile up over the weekend or read them over the weekend, whatever. But that's the best way to subscribe.
Okay. Well, Tim, we really appreciate you coming on here and sharing with us each week some of these great football facts. We appreciate you sharing your football knowledge in the book and some of the other things that you've done to help us all understand that and footballarchaeology.com. And we will talk to you again next Tuesday.
Very good. And congratulations again. Thanks.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.